Today's Perek is Perek Tes Zayin of Sefer Yehoshua, and we're holding in a Seder, which according to the Masera includes the Nachla of 2.5 Shvatim on the western side of the Yarden, which are parallel to the 2.5 Shvatim on the eastern side of the Yarden given by Moshe Rabbeinu. These are the Nachlas of the two Shvatim of Bnei Yosef and of Binyamin. But one of that Shevet Bnei Yosef was only half of Menashe. And Menashe, as we pointed out, was the chibur between the two sides of the Yarden. And so we have a strange construct over here of the Perek. What happens is that we give you the overall border to the south of all of the Bnei Yosef, and we only explain to you the northern borders as we go into the details later on. Since Ephraim is closer to the Dorim, we're going to first start with Ephraim, who borders up along the area north of Shevet Binyamin and Shevet Dan. But those Shvatim have not yet been Yoresh. They're Yoresh afterwards with the Goral. So apparently the next stage of the Goral after Yehuda is Yosef, which makes sense. And now, Yosef, we start by giving you the southern boundary. So first, the overall southern boundary of Yosef, which turns out to be Ephraim's boundary. Vayetze ha-goral livnei Yosef, mi yarden yiricho, lemei yiricho mizracha. And so we start now for Yosef from the area that is facing Yericho from the Yarden, and it continues on to the wells of Yericho, which were the wells we refer to later on, where we have a whole nace by those wells, and we know that... Springs. Those springs, Lamaisa, are called in our tefillas, Mei Yericho, right? Because when we talk about Misha Ana, so we talk about Misha Ana al Mei Yericho, is the point. So it's clearly where you know the water wasn't drinkable. And so that Mei Yericho is apparently this. So Mei Yericho Mizracha, Ha Midbar. This goes now from the Midbar that is Ola Miyericho Bahar Beit El. So go up from the Yarden to Mei Yericho, and then start going up north, not directly, obviously, but northwest towards the area of the desert, which would be the wilderness, which now would terminate at the mountain of Beit El, not, however, including Beit El itself, that we'll see later is part of Binyamin, but apparently the area of Beit El is, in fact, split between Binyamin and Bnei Yosef. The Atzami Beit El Luza, so even though it says in the Torah that Luz and Beit El are the same place, Ulam Luz Shema Ir Barishon, as it says, apparently they split off, in other words, they built the new city, Al Shem Bnei Yaakov, was Beit El, and that was slightly different than the area of the original Luz, so that what happened is that the Gvul went over here next to the area of these two cities, the Avar al Gvul Ha'arki Atarot. And from there, the Gvul went along a famous family, apparently, from the Kanani, which was called Arki. We know that Hushai Arki was very good friends with David. So apparently, this was a well-known area. And it went to a place called Atarot, which later on we're going to see is actually a place called Atarot Adar, apparently. And on that level, it's actually similar, according to most, to what we call Atarot today, where the airport is in Yerushalayim, which is right near Ramallah. It's a little bit to the south of Ramallah. And can you show us, Rabbanea, just this piece before you go?
This piece is here. Here's the point where the Yarden meets the Yam HaMelech, which before we said here's Yehuda and here's Binyamin. But now we're going from the line over here to the east of Yericho. We're going.
How do you know that you go all the way down to the Yam HaMelech at this point? How do we know it's not the Yarden, which is Mul Yericho, which is what it seems to be saying over here? The Yarden Yericho. Yarden Yericho means the point of the Yarden that is connected to Yericho, not the actual... Yam HaMelech. There's no indication at all that it went all the way down to Yam HaMelech.
So it's those two parts was the division between Binyamin and Yehuda, and now we move
that could be. Binyamin and Yehuda is okay. Binyamin is much lower.
Okay,
but
so
this is not good. Does not apparently go all the way to the Yam HaMelech. It goes straight across from
the question is how far the Yam HaMelech went up in those times. It's not so far.
But even from the Pusik, it doesn't say anything about the Yam.
So it went to the east.
Later on, huh? Later on, we're going to talk about going down to the Yam to the west, but we never talk about the
Yam HaMelech. Okay, so let's assume that it starts further up over here. It goes to the east of the spring Yericho, and goes up. You see, it's almost directly up to the Har Beit El, and then Beit Charon Elyon and Tachton are in 443, and then it goes off towards Gezer. Made a big circle here around Gezer, which is the Hir Ephraim. In other words, over here is Yehuda, and over here is Dan, and over here is Ephraim. There's like a point where three Shvatim meet over here.
So is the Yericho is the Mayanot
Yericho? Mayanot Yericho today is probably Yericho. Yeah, there's no indication anything changed in that area. It's still very prominent. The Arad Yoma, now going to the west, El Gvul HaYafleti. Now this Yafleti apparently was also one of the major families in Canaan that's taken for granted, just like we know the Arki, we know the Yafleti. Ad Gvul Beit Choron Tachton, all the way until Gozer, which Barnea just showed us. So Gozer near, which is basically directly east of Yavne, and then to the Yam from there. So it went from that area of Ayu, Totsa Otav of the Gvul, Yama went all the way, apparently, to the actual Yam, to the Yama Gadol. So this is now, we've been talking about the overall Gvul of Bnei Yosef, without distinguishing whose Gvul it is. And now we start talking about the Shiftei Bnei Yosef. This is going to go on through the next parak, and then the overall Bnei Yosef complaints, which will be the parak afterwards. So this is all considered to be one section with Shnayim V'chetzi together with Yehuda. So Vayinachalu Bnei Yosef Minasheh Ephraim. So even though it says Menashe first, and then it says Ephraim, it explains Ephraim first, then Menashe. So this could be because Menashe is the Bechor in reality, but Ephraim is more kosher. Or it could be Bechlal, that since we just spoke about the Gvul HaDromi is the Nachla of Ephraim. So we start talking about Vayigvul Bnei Ephraim L'Mishpatam, because generally, as we'll see, we always start here with the Gvul to the Doraim, as if we were coming into Eretz Yisrael from Mitzrayim, from underneath, and then we talk about going up. So the Vayigvul Bnei Ephraim L'Mishpachotam is Vayigvul Nachlatam Mizracha Atarot. Now, note that the word Gvul is used in two different ways. So the Gvul is the outside area, but the Gvul is also their area, their Nachala. The same thing is true about the word that was used in the beginning of the parak. Vayetze HaGoral. A Goral has two different meanings. Vayetze HaGoral means the actual spilling out of whatever you're using as the Goral. You know, the blocks of wood or whatever, or the piece of paper that you take. You say Vayetze HaGoral, the thing that you pulled out of the hat, so to speak. But also, the area that is yours is called the Goral. So it's very interesting. In other words, there's something that is directly connecting the concept of Goral to your destiny, and that's how we're supposed to look at it. What appeared to be random is actually your Goral in life, which is the way the other way we use Goral, and it comes out of something that appears to be a random event, which of course started with Achav, and that was the whole time of Yeshua. The last thing you must do is to cast any doubt on the nature of Goral. So there's a concept of destiny that's associated with the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael, and the same thing is true for Gvul. The Gvul, we talk about the outside, but that includes all inner self of what's going to be yours.
The lot
is your lot in life. Right. The lot is your lot in life, exactly. You too. The lot is your lot. It's literally, which Gvul is yours, correct? It's amazing. Vayi Gvul, that's Yeshli Kol. That's the guy who's got the lot. Vayi Gvul Nachlatam Mizracha. So here we do a very fascinating thing, which is not standard. We take the Gvul and we go in two directions with it. So that first we talk about a direction now from this point east, then we're going to go back to the same point and go west. So we start from sort of a midpoint. So Gvul Nachlatam Mizracha Atarot Adar Ad Beit Choron Elyon. So we went down to the area of Beit Choron and V'yatza Gvul Hayama on the western side. The Gvul went from HaMichmetat Mitzafon. So if you're talking about Michmetat, seems to be an area rather than a particular place. And Michmetat actually means the crushed area, which could be, they say in in Arabic also, Lishonas that have to do with this, Michmatat, some say Jimbalia, that area around Shechem, is the Michmatat. And from the Michmatat, so it went over Michmatat Mitzafon, Minasava Gvul Mizrocha Ta'anat Shiloh. The Gvul then, again according to the Gro, this means made a turn around Ta'anat Shiloh to come back along the same line. And according to other Mefarshim, it means actually made a turn and stayed on the turn to Ta'anat Shiloh, because Ta'anat Shiloh itself is not really part of the Gvul, therefore went around it, as we'll see later on. Now, what exactly is Ta'anat Shiloh? The Bepashtas, the Ta'anat Shiloh could actually refer to a Teina. In other words, it might have been a famous Teina, but that was the area of Ta'anat Shiloh. Chazal seemed to equate Ta'anat Shiloh with Shiloh. And it says it's called Lama Mikrashwa Ta'anat Shiloh, because whoever saw that place would go into mourning. That's Aninut, Ta'ana from Lashon Aninut, when he remembered the pain of all the kachim that were eaten over there, and now it was destroyed. Shekol haro'elta mitaneach, he moans, alachilat kachim shalom. This is the Gemara in Zvachim says, that this is actually Shiloh, because that's the makom where the Mishkan Shiloh was.
At the present so, day Shiloh, they show you a large fig tree.
They show a fig tree that's supposed to be Ta'anat Shiloh. Okay. So the implications here would be that there's something about the nature of Shiloh that was always understood, that it had in it incipient churban, which afterwards HaKadosh Baruch Hu vayimas b'mishkan Shiloh. This becomes now a place that we turn aside from. And what's interesting is that if that's the lashon of Ta'ana is aninut, then it says v'avarotu mimizrach yanocha, which is the lashon of Nechama. So somehow or other, there's elements of Churban and Binyan that are built into the nature of the Gvul B'nei Ephraim. V'yarad miyanocha atarot v'na'arata. From there it goes down to atarot, and again now, this would be poga b'yericho. So what we're talking about is you hit Yericho, from there you go directly across the yard. So we started up on top, when we've come back down to show you how it was that it came back to Yericho. But now, moving back up now, to the area of Tapuach. Now the Tapuach was right in the middle of the Nachala, and it was by the Michmatat, which was under Shechem. If you take a look at your map here, this area is called the Michmatat, the crushed area beneath Shechem. And here is Tapuach. So we started from here, not mamish from Tapuach, but from the general area of the Michmatat, and worked our way down back to Yericho and out to the Yarden. Now we pull back up to Tapuach, and we're now going to trace the Gvul as it comes out on the other side. So from Tapuach now, the Gvul moved out, and the Yelech HaGvul Yama towards the west, all the way to Nachal Kana, which is still called Nachal Kana. Vayoto Tzotav HaYama, at that point, it hits the Yam, which means that essentially every single area of Ephraim is water-oriented. In other words, it all comes back to water on some level, whether it's the Nachal Kana, whether it's the Yam itself, which provides the western boundary, or the Yarden, which is the southern boundary. All of this relates, of course, to Yosef, that Yosef's bracha is always in terms of Mayim. So this became now Mata B'nai Ephraim, but it's not really fair to say that this is the Nachalat B'nai Ephraim, because what happened over here is that there were, as we're going to see much later, the Ha'arim HaMivdalot, strange word, there were cities that were islands separated from the mainland, so to speak, non-contiguous. You have an area that is yours, but you have to go through someone else's territory to get there. Here too, the cities that were Mivdalot for Ephraim, those cities were Betoch Nachalat B'nai Menasheh. So although we can pretend to separate the Menasheh from Ephraim, the truth is that just as we introduced the Chatchila with this is the area of B'nai Yosef, Menasheh Ephraim, we can't really separate them out. Because there was a whole group of cities that we're going to talk about later that were in the middle of B'nai Menasheh. Kol Ha'arim V'Chatzrehen, that we're not including here, but if you want to measure the real Nachla, need to be included. V'lo Horishu Atakanani Hayoshev B'Gaza. Even though we said the Gvul went down to Gaza, just like there was an Eretz HaNisharet that was never captured by Yehuda, which we spoke about in the area of Yehuda, there's exactly the same situation was true over here with Bnei Yosef. They never were able to take over Gaza. Vayeshev HaKnani b'kerav Ephraim, so the Knani were surrounded by Jewish Moshavim around Gezer, Ad Hayom Hazeh, which clearly has to mean until the writing of the Sefer, because we know in Malachim that actually Shlomo HaMelech went ahead and took over Gezer, not through his own efforts, but because when he married Bat Paro, so Paro had invaded Gezer and gave it as a gift to his daughter, who was the wife of Shlomo. So that means that Ad Hayom Hazeh, unless it's referring to the fact that it wasn't Bnei Yosef who managed this, it means Ad, the writing of the Sefer. Lamaisa became part of the Nachal of Eretz Yisrael, but really was never through the efforts ever of Bnei Yosef.
So there were Canaanite in Gezer who were living within the Nachal of Ephraim, and meanwhile there are people from Ephraim in their cities of Ephraim living within the Nachal of Manasseh.
Right. Okay. Some additions is that the nature of Shiloh was very unique, as the Gemara tells us, that even though when it came to all of the other mekaymes of Achilas Kotchin, you needed to have walls around it. So either the chotzer of the Mishkan, the chotzer itself was what was mater achila, and anything that was yotzer mechutz l'mechitza was considered to be treifa, because it was yotzer mechitza. In the Beis HaMikdash, you couldn't be yotzer either the mechitza of the Azara, or if it's kachim kalim, the mechitza of Yerushalayim. In Shiloh, you could actually eat b'chol haro'eh. Why? Because it was b'chelko shel Yosef. So just like Yosef saw, but didn't want to take that which wasn't his, ayin shelo ratzta, lehanot b'mash eno shelo, yizke v'yochal k'chol b'chol haro'eh. So as long as you could see Mishkan Shiloh, you were allowed to continue to eat kachin. Now that has implications for Ta'anat Shiloh. Because if Lamaisa, you're talking about a particular place, so then ain't a chinami. The place is what is where the makom of Shiloh is. But if we recognize that Shiloh expands the Chol Hareya, so then the Tanat Shiloh could be the furthest that you can go and still eat kachin, and therefore, even though it's clearly a completely different place, the misery of what's lost in Shiloh is the fact that you could eat kachin. So therefore, the lashon of the Gemara is the Ta'anat Shiloh al achilas kachin, not stam on the fact that there was a mishkan here. That's not what I'm mourning on. I'm mourning on the loss of a specific relationship to kachin, which is achilas kachin shiloh. That's the diak of achila. Another fascinating relationship to the avar over here, avar otomi mizrach, that relates to Ta'anat Shiloh, is we're going to see later that we have similar to the relationship of Binyamin to Yehuda, that it was a tremendous pain for Binyamin, that there was a chelek that was taken by Yehuda, and in that chelek, you can't build a mizbeach, and therefore there was no yesod on the mizbeach, because as the Gemara says, it wasn't part of the predatory relationship of Binyamin, the wolf. And a mizbeach has to be a predator, so it has to be a wolf. And it says that Binyamin HaTzadik haya mitztayer alav v'choyom levalo. This is tremendously painful for Binyamin. That some chelek that was a place where the Mizbeach, if you looked at it graphically, it should be a yesod that went all the way around. For some reason, that was given to Yehuda, which we're going to see later. The same thing the Gemara said was true about Shiloh. And this caused also pain. So we had over here, by Shiloh, there was a chelek that came from Yosef, of Chalkosha Yosef, into, as we're going to see, the chelek of Binyamin, which was where there was a mishkan that was put, which also Binyamin didn't have. So there could be a remez here to the pain of the fact that although Yadid Hashem Yishkan Levetacha, so there was a sense that Binyamin deserves to have the mishkan and the migdash in his chelek. This is the Ta'anat Shiloh, which was given as a ritzua, says the Gemara, to Bnei Yosef.